And Jesus said to the disciples, remember, remember, I'm with you always to the end of the age. One of the great debates been going on for at least 500 years is a debate between science and religion. Between people of faith and no faith, on whether or not one can reconcile faith in the divine being, unknowable, unseen, and the scientific world of discovery that we live in. The perceived gulf between science and religion is well illustrated, I think, by the claim made by a certain Archbishop Usher, who was Archbishop of All Ireland in the 17th century. He was an intelligent man, a very clever man, a scientist almost. And he calculated the time and date of the beginning of creation, working back from the birth of Jesus through the Old Testament, Archbishop Usher estimated the time and date of creation. I quote, creation took place on the entrance of the night preceding the 23rd day of October, the year before Christ, 4004. Write it down. From the 23rd of October, that's creation's birthday. Huh? Alas, for Bishop Usher, this date has well and truly been debunked by modern science, especially the Big Bang theory, not the television program, not the cable thing, which is a very good one, by the way, but not that, but the actual Big Bang theory, which by general agreement calculates creation beginning in a moment of singularity some 13.7 billion years ago. Alas for Mr. Usher, he has some years to make up. The gulf twixt science and religion widened somewhat in the 19th century when the naturalist Charles Darwin published his book on the origin of species. He argued the case for the natural selection of creation over time, a view that even today is still challenged by those who are more inclined to take a literalist understanding of the story of creation in the book of Genesis. What is often lost in this struggle to equate science and religion is there was a time when they were indistinguishable. Many of the great scientific discoveries, which we take for granted, emerged from the church, particularly during that high monastic period we call the Middle Ages. And no more, I would suggest to you, do we experience the confluence of science and religion than in the concept of the Trinity. The Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which we celebrate on this Sunday after Pentecost. Science and religion notwithstanding, it is by faith that we proclaim the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit each Sunday when we recite the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed, if you didn't already know, is really a theological construct. A compromise worked out in the early part of the 4th century to reconcile the two natures of Christ, the divine and the human. But behind the declaration of the Trinity, as articulated in the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed, is the human experience of God. The human experience of God as Father, God as Son, God as Holy Spirit. In other words, how we in our own lives experience God as Creator, Jesus as Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit as that divine breath which inspires, comforts, and empowers us. In other words, I would suggest that it is in the intersection between science and religion that we truly experience the Trinity. Let me offer a couple of examples. Well, it's almost 30 years ago now that I took a course in astronomy. I was somewhat nervous. Working my way through the science of the cosmos might shape my belief in God. In fact, the opposite occurred. The sheer wonder of studying the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, as the Eucharistic prayer C offers it, moved me beyond words and deepened my faith in a God of creation and a God of mystery. Each Sunday, as I drive to church, I am reminded of the Trinity. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but Harrisburg Pike, more or less, is aligned north to south. So when I drive south on Harrisburg Pike, particularly at this time of the year, each Sunday I witness the sun rising in the east. It's more or less in line with my left shoulder. Excuse me. There. That's east, by the way. More over there somewhere. But as the summer progresses into autumn, the sunrise moves. It begins to track south, so that by late autumn, early in the morning, when I come to the church, the sun is almost in my eyes. This visible movement of earth and sun reminds me of the God of creation. And much as science and astronomy can describe to me why it happens, can describe to me how the earth is tilting and going round its course around the sun, and give me mathematical equations. God, I hated those when I took astronomy. I was never good at math, and all this did was prove that I was absolutely right, and I couldn't do that. But what really fascinated me is that these things move. And there is an order, and there is a poetry, and there is a beauty about this visible movement of earth and sun and planets and stars in their courses. And I can only think of God. I remember I went home and told Relen about this. We were in one of those labs. You know, you have to do labs when you do a science thing. And this one was, we'd just had a class on the 5 different kinds of galaxies. And we had to identify them, and we were each given a slide to look at through a viewer. And it was a picture of a quarter of an inch of sky, as if you were standing here and you had a quarter of an inch of sky and you were looking right deep into space. There were 250 galaxies. I just looked at it in wonder and amazement at the power of God's creation. And it's still a mystery to me how God chose this sun and this planet on which to work God's wonders. That's the Trinity. That's the Trinity. And whenever I make a hospital visit, I experience the Trinity. The Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God, who created us in God's image, and through the ministry of doctors and nurses and hospital staff and the whole science of medicine which supports them, God is constantly creating. And that image of God as creator and the fact that we are made in God's image, think about that. If ever there was a crisis in our lives, it's that of image. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. There was a time in my life when I passed a point where everything moved south. The clothes that I used to be able to get in, I no longer can. And there are times in our lives when our own self-image is not very high. That's when you need to remind yourself that you were created in God's image and you're still created in God's image. When I make a hospital visit, I think of the sun, of Jesus our Lord, who is ever present in times of crisis and times of healing. And I think of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the Advocate which stands with us and in us, and the breath of God that enfolds us, giving comfort. The Trinity, God Creator, God Redeemer, Spirit, Holy Comforter, an ever-present strength in time of trouble. If only we could accept it. If only we could accept the Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a mystery. A complex mystery. Just as science is a complex mystery. We seem so uncomfortable with the idea of mystery. We want to know everything, even though we're not meant to know everything. The Trinity is a mystery which unfolds before our very eyes, just as science is a mystery that unfolds before our eyes. All the more reason not to struggle to understand it, but rather to allow ourselves to fall into the Trinity. The Trinity of God, Creator, God, Redeemer, God, Sanctifier. A wonderful Christian writer, Frederick Buechner, writes of the Trinity this way: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he writes, mean that the mystery beyond us, the mystery and among us, and the mystery within us are all the same mystery. The Trinity is a way of saying something about us and the way we experience God. The Trinity is also a way of saying something about God and the way God does not need the creation in order to have something to love, because within God's love, within God's self, love happens. Within God's self, love happens. There is a theoretical physicist, a man called John Polkinghorne. He's English. He's a fellow of Queen's College, Cambridge. But he's also an Anglican priest. He writes of science this way. Science is the strategy of grounding our understanding in interpreted experience. We experience something, we explore it, and that becomes the ground of our understanding. But then he goes on to suggest that each Sunday we come to the Eucharist, we are interpreting the Trinity. Each Sunday that we come to this table, we encounter the invisible, risen Christ. You believe that. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. In the Eucharist, we give thanks to God for creation, for all those things God has created in our lives. Each Sunday, when we come to this table, we remember the cross of Christ. And each Sunday that we come to this table, we encounter the Holy Spirit. In other words, whether through science or through faith, the Trinity is how we experience God's love. God's love for each and every one of us. Jesus said, "Remember, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." That's what's happening when we say the Trinity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.